Morning. Let's turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2. Just a quick comment from the public reading. Really went along well with the stewardship and Lord's Supper meditation. The temple of God. God has a temple. It is a spiritual temple. The real temple is a spiritual one. And the Lord is interested in it being built. And we got to do our part. Hey, we know that nation of Israel has been left as an example for us. They abandoned God. Even after God led them out of Egypt, led them out of their slavery, He subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. Brethren, God's brought us up out of Egypt. He brought us up out of slavery to sin. But the only those who continue to believe will make it into the promised land. Really, really appreciate the stewardship today. And that is so much. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. It is seeing the things of God for what they are and valuing those accordingly that puts everything else in its right perspective. I really appreciate that, Daryl. You said, may we all know this. Well, I don't know if we all know it or not, but the reminder and the way you communicate that is very, very good because it puts things in the right perspective. Everything else is just rubbish in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. When we have that as our focus and we love the Lord and that's our everything, and Roger's Lord's Supper went with that too, and that's everything about who we are, then there is unity. But otherwise, it's fighting over stuff. Stuff that doesn't matter. So, I do want to clarify also, I guess, or in Romans 2, I hope. Mike and Katya have been prayerfully wanting to adopt for years, and all of a sudden the doors opened, and very quickly here, and they have their baby who was just born this morning at 4:20. So continue to pray for them. It's going to be a great opportunity. I know they really desire to bring that child up in the will of the Lord. So let's uphold them in your prayers and probably give them some encouragement and help too, because it's brand new. It's brand new for them. So that's tremendous. All right, we're going to be in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I'm looking at the clock here, and I am going to have to preach really fast today. So you guys listen really fast, all right? Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Therefore you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment. For in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. And do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise your awesome and holy name. We thank you, Lord, for your righteousness. We thank you for your kindness that leads us to repentance. We're thankful. Lord, there is a day coming in which you are going to judge this world and you're going to judge every single individual. We're going to be accountable for what we've done in the body, whether good or bad. Lord, we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. We look forward to that day when the sky is split back like a scroll. We don't look forward to that day, Lord, because of our own righteousness that's according to the law. But we look forward to that day because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that's been given to us. Lord, I ask that we would understand what it means to have the obedience of faith, and that we would, as we particularly get to look through the book of Romans, that our eyes would really be open to what faith is, and that we would continue to grow in faith, and that our obedience would be consistent with that. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You know, book of Romans, Paul is writing to a church that is made up of both Jewish and Gentile Christians. And it's been a couple weeks here as we've gone through this, but the Gentile world in complete total depravity. Matter of fact, the end of Romans chapter 1 really deals with the issue of homosexuality. And that was where at that point in time, in the days that Paul writes the letters to the Romans, the first century, Rome was filled with homosexual behavior. And Paul just points out that through the inspired Holy Spirit, that when we reject God, when we refuse to acknowledge Him, we refuse to give Him the glory, when we worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, that every single form of depravity comes to the forefront. And you look, guys, our world today, we live in a Gentile world. There are, thankfully, there are still a substantial number of people who understand that Jesus is Lord, and there is an awakening, there's a moral bearing there because of Christ. But the world that's rejected God, I don't need to re-preach this. From our scientific leaders to our educators to every single, not every single, but most of the homes in this country, the TV, the media, the push, totally taking away glory being given to God and emphasis being put on the creature, really, I think particularly, the human body. Humanism. I'm God. You're God. Be your own God. And we can see what the effects of that are. It's just sin that's spiraling deeper and deeper into depravity. And so, that's an easy thing for us as Christians to look and say, man, this world's in big trouble. And that day it was easy for the Jews to look at the Gentile world and say, man, they're in big trouble. But Paul's going to come back to the Jews. He's going to say, hey, be careful. Be careful. Because you who are passing judgment on these things and practicing the same things yourself, you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? And he goes on and he talks about the kindness of God. And I preached that a few weeks ago, that really, it's easy to stand and judge somebody else. It's easy to get out the microscope and be looking at what other people are doing wrong. We should be looking at ourselves and understanding, brethren, in your life and in my life, what has caused me to actually change the most? It is the kindness of God. It's honestly that kindness of God, whether ultimately through Jesus Christ and the demonstration of love He gave us on the cross, but it's also through His people, the kindness of God through His people that have caused me to actually change the most. I'm not preaching on that today. Okay, we already have covered that. What I want to key on today is verses 5 and onward. In light of God's kindness, in the midst of God's kindness, oftentimes people continue to reject Him. And He says, because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The kindness of God is supposed to lead us to repent, change the way that we think, change our motives. Raji was talking about with the heart. Change what we want. But there's a stubbornness that comes, and people oftentimes shake their fists in the face of God, and how could a loving God do this? And they blame God for this and that, and they refuse to change. Brother, I know when I get a chance to share the gospel with people, and people in their honesty, one of the great fears is that of real change. Sometimes I don't want to, and sometimes I don't think I really can. God helps us to have real change. He expects us to have real change. Those who are stubborn, have this unrepentant heart, just storing up wrath. There are many great themes in the Scripture. Theme of sin. That mankind has fallen, the choices that we make, and I'll just reiterate that sin is a choice. Scripture's clear, and God holds us accountable for those choices. There's the theme of salvation that runs through here, that God is willing to rescue, that He is the deliverer. And I'll just say that's His purpose, and God's good at what He does. The theme of redemption, God being willing to buy us back, to pay for us, to purchase the church with His own blood. The theme of the Holy Spirit, this gift, this promise that God's given, for God to come and actually dwell inside of us. What a beautiful message from the Scripture. The fellowship that we have with Christ because of the price that He paid. The fellowship that we have available to have with each other because of that. The theme of holiness. Hey, God says, you shall be holy as I am holy. And He runs throughout the Scriptures. There's another theme that runs throughout the Scriptures I want to key in on this morning. That's a theme of judgment. Anybody remotely familiar with the Bible is aware of Judgment Day. We can start. I'm going to just go to Genesis chapter 6. If you turn there with me. First book of the Bible. Just going to look at one in the first book, one in the last book, and then we're going to fly through this. But in Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. Brethren, the flood of Noah's day communicates there is judgment. We, every one of us created in God's image, we had a conscience. But that conscience wasn't enough to keep us on track. The flood of Noah's day came. God's serious about judgment. Now, one of the great arguments of science in the theory of evolution is trying to avoid the reality, the historical actuality of the flood of Noah's day. Why do you think that is? It's not because they can't look and see that every place, this whole world's been covered with water. I'll tell you why they try to avoid that. Because they want to avoid that there is a God who's going to judge. But as early as Genesis chapter 6, we see a picture of judgment. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. All sorts of places we could go in this last book about judgment. That's definitely a theme of the book of Revelation, progressive judgment throughout this book. But let's just hit 19 verses 1 through 3. After these things I heard, as it were, a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous. For He has judged the great harlot who is corrupting the earth with her immorality, and He's the avenged. He has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. And the second time they said, Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. First book, last book, and the books in between, judgment. I've been recently reading Jeremiah and then Ezekiel, and I've been speed reading Isaiah for something separate. You can't miss the theme of judgment. As a matter of fact, Babylon here. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah all talk about the judgment of Babylon. Okay, so basically, you can any book in the Bible, you can find references to that judgment. Some are hidden, others are clear descriptions. One of the purposes of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Paul says in Acts chapter 17, the Areopagus, one of the primary purposes of the resurrection is to guarantee the judgment day is coming. I call it God's double dog dare to the world. I don't know how you are, but there are certain things. It's a weird thing, but my mind has a tendency to avoid thinking about things that are painful, even if they're real. I remember in college, procrastination was one of my I like to procrastinate. And I would try not to think about stuff. Hey, this is the weekend, right? I don't want to think about what I have to do. Okay? Right now, I'm going through. I got exams midterms of this next week. I don't care. It's the weekend. Don't bother me about that. I'll think about it after church on Sunday night. Till then, don't mention it. Okay? Hey, there's a tendency to put stuff off. Guys, when it comes to the reality of Judgment Day, one of the great games that people play in their mind is put it off. Don't think about it. I'm thankful for death. Death, other people around you dropping, make you contemplate your eternity. Judgment Day is real. So we think about that. As soon as we admit that the Judgment Day is on the way, what does that look like? What's going to happen? How's it going to go down? How do I prepare for it? Personally, I never wanted to go into a test in school unprepared. And I never, ever walked out of a test saying, man, I wish I wouldn't have prepared so much for that. A job interview, a big job interview, that your career, this next opportunity is on the line. You prepare for that. Major purchases. Okay, hopefully you prepare for that. You consider what those are and count the cost and do a little research. I got to be honest, when I sold shoes, most people don't research. They just go in and buy shoes. But there are some people like me, it's like, okay, hey, Justin Bolton's not here this morning, but I was talking to him. He had some new running shoes, and he had gone to a place. It's a little more expensive place than some places you can buy your shoes, but they put him on this thing. They're watching looking at the form of his feet as he walks and the pronation. They got him in the right shoes for what he does so that he can actually be healthy while he's running and training. That's a good thing, research. But it amazes me how people will research to make sure they're going to spend their $80 or $100 on a pair of shoes and make sure they get it right, but they won't research and prepare for eternity. Guys, eternity is a long time. And every single one of us is going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. That interview for our eternal home. I've mentioned before Bertrand Russell, a famous atheist, who since has died, by the way. But he said, if there is a God, and if there is a judgment day, and if he asked me why I didn't believe in him, I'm going to say, because you didn't give me enough evidence. It's not good preparation for that interview. Bertrand Russell is going to find himself speechless before the throne of God. Judgment Day is coming. It's a sure thing. What's it look like? How do we prepare for it? Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. Just want to... Jesus tells a parable about this, and I'm not going to get into the whole parable. I just want to make a point here from the first few verses of this. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. So when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Guys, there are two groups on Judgment Day. Jesus is going to sort it out. One on His right and one on His left. Every single one of us is going to be put into one of those two groups. Every person in the world that's ever lived going to be put into one of those two groups. We can put different names on those. Okay? Here Jesus calls them the goats and the sheep. Okay? Other place in the Scripture, we can talk about the wicked and the righteous. Talk about the lost and the found. The fearful or the faithful. The shamed or the confident. Okay? But one consistent point. Okay? Two groups. And you aren't going to be left over on this, left out of this. I remember having this thought as a kid. And I thought about it more from the perspective of everything in life that was enjoyable to me. I still realized, even as a kid, that those things get old pretty fast. You know, I like ice cream. You can only eat so much ice cream before you kind of say, no, I don't anymore, I'm going to get sick. I'll skip that story. I like to snowboard. You can only snowboard for so long before it's tiring. You're done. I'm done for the day. Basketball. You can play basketball for 68, 69 years of your life, something like that. You know, and there's still only so many hours of the day that you can play basketball. I am thankful for Robert being an example to us, still playing at 69 years old. That impresses me. Okay? But, you know, anything fun and enjoyable still gets old. But, you know, what I came to is I remember talking to the Lord and saying, when you come again, like, can you just leave me out of this? I knew I didn't want to go to hell. Like, that's no option. But the idea of living forever wasn't appealing to me either. Honestly, living forever in this world, guys, still is not at all. I'm thankful for life because of Christ and because of the blessings He gives me because of Christ in this life. But this world pretty much stinks. I got no interest in spending forever in a place like this. No thank you. But I figured that out at 8 years old. But, you know, God, just look. Could you just skip over me? Just have me go into nothingness. Because nobody gets skipped over. That's what the atheists are banking on. They had nothing. Not true. Everybody is going to be judged. And the Scripture is consistent on that. We're going to be judged in accordance with what we have done. I don't have time to go through all the Scriptures that I've written down this morning. But you can check it out. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. You will be judged for what you have done in your body. Let's go to John chapter 6. I like the way Jesus says this here in John 6. John 6, 28. Let me see, that's not what I want. That's later. Let's go to John 5. John 5, verses 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tomb shall hear His voice and shall come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. An hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall come forth. Nobody's getting skipped on this. Everybody coming out. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 reminds us we're going to be judged for the deeds in our body, whether good or bad. And Revelation chapter 20 verses 11 through 15 gives a picture of the day of judgment. And books are open, scrolls are open, and we are judged by the books that are open in accordance with our deeds. Now just pause for a second. Final day of judgment. When the Lord comes, every eye is going to see Him, right? Every eye is going to see Him. No, nobody's going to miss out. So, do you think it's possible the Lord could have a video screen that everybody in the entire universe could see? You want the Lord to play back every deed done in your body? Sometimes I got to work on controlling this tongue, right? So, hey, just carry around a tape recorder with me for the week. And play it back. How'd I do this week? Because Jesus said you're going to be held accountable for your words, right? Every careless word that men shall speak, they'll render account for it in the day of judgment. How do you like this? Okay, Luke Wilson's here. His turn. He calls up your name. Video screen. Every deed I've done. And, you know, hey, the good deeds, we probably don't need to show those. How about all the wrong things I've ever done? Let's play this for everybody to see. How do you think I'd do? I've been so... Speaking of John Adams, the pure white driven snow, pure and white like the driven snow, that God's just going to let me right in to glory because I've been so good, right? He can't find one thing on me. Tell you guys, I wouldn't do too good When it comes to the Lord's standard of judgment, guess where I am? Big trouble. The record is everybody, Jew, Gentile. We could put it churched, unchurched. Everybody in trouble with God. That day is coming. That day is coming. How are we going to prepare for that? God's always wanted and expected righteousness. And His standard is not the world's standard. Now, I wouldn't want to be judged by some of you, for sure. But, you know, I think out there in the world, I think if the world was judging me, they'd say I'm a pretty good guy. I'd get a pass. You make it in. That's not the standard. The standard is the Lord. And nobody's kept the law perfectly. So what the Holy Spirit's going to work on here in the book of Romans is what God actually wants is obedience of faith. There's a couple places in Romans. One is going to ask the question, do we nullify the law by faith? On the contrary, we establish the law. The only way true righteousness is going to come about, the only way that the law is going to be kept, is not by trying to keep the law. It's going to be by faith. We get to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, says what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending His own Son, the likeness of sinful flesh, as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Guess what, guys? God's expectation is that I will be righteous as He is righteous. How's that going to happen? Not from my own power. It's going to come from Him. Roger talks about David. Well, how does God consider David? The Old Testament shows David a couple pretty big sins. Adultery and murder. On the list of sins, guys, those are kind of tough to beat. And yet, the Scripture would paint that David's going to be justified. Why? Because of faith. And that did not define him. That's not where David's life ended, is it? You can look at the contrast. His son Solomon. Super wise. Started good. But where does Solomon end? I don't see that Solomon ever committed murder. Plenty of other sins. Start with 1,000 women. But where did Solomon end? It looks to me like Solomon didn't make it. He never was obedient by faith. God looking for those who will believe His Word, who will trust in Him and follow Him in faith. Anybody who's ever been justified by faith. All those guys in the Old Testament, men and women who were faithful, their faith was pointing them to Jesus, looking towards Jesus. Hey, guys, we get a really clear picture because we live on this side of Christ. The only way we can truly have good deeds is to have faith in Jesus. Flip forward to John 6. John 6, verses 28 and 29. Now let's look at 27 through 29. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for on Him the Father, even God, has set His seal. They said therefore to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. What's the work? What's the issue? What's the real thing? To really believe in Jesus, the one whom God has sent. If we believe in Christ, if we really believe in Him, then our desire is to be righteous as He is righteous. If we really believe in Him, then we will be obedient to His plan of salvation, not some alternate way that some man comes up with to try to be in with God, but we'll be obedient to God's plan of salvation as revealed in the Scriptures. We'll walk in His ways, empowered by His Spirit. We can't do it apart from belief. I want to be I don't have time to finish this message today, so I just want to close with a couple thoughts. We're never going to be able to be justified by works. You try to be justified by works, you won't make it. The scriptural record is you can't do it. That's getting the cart in front of the horse. But brethren, there is a horse, if you will. There is such a thing as faith. And you know what? Faith produces obedience. There are works of the law, and there are works of faith. And faith will produce actual change in our lives. Real righteousness, real obedience. And faith does produce works. And so, God's not partial. Every single person, we'll talk about this a little more next time. Every single person, Jew, Greek, rich, poor, cool, uncool, male, female, you've been, if you're the age of accountability, you will be judged before God. Now, all of us should scratch our head a little and say, well, we're all in the same boat. How are there going to be two groups? Because there's one group that actually believes in Christ. There's one group that is a true belief that actually brings about obedience. And in that group, brother, if you're a part of that group and you are faithful, and you actually are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, and you are being brought to life by the Spirit, on that day of judgment, and the Lord calls me up, Luke Wilson, do I have to be afraid of what He's going to show on the video screen? Because you know what? My judge is my attorney. And when the Lord forgives, He forgets. And what He's going to be able to pull up on that screen for the faithful, all He finds are our righteous acts. The righteous acts of the saints. That day is coming. It's real. Because I don't want God to pull up every mistake I've ever made. I don't want God to remember that. If He does, I'm in trouble. I don't really want Him to share it with all of you either, but that's kind of low on the real issue's Him, isn't it? There's one important thing. That I'm right with Him. That you're right with Him. That we have been justified by faith. That's what Paul's driving at early on in the book of Romans. Hey, you think you got this? On your own, you don't got this. You're in trouble just like that dirty, rotten, sinning Gentile. Now, there is a faith that produces obedience. And there are real works of righteousness that God does expect from us. But that has to come from faith. Hey, we can't get it flipped around the wrong way. The externals are secondary. It's really what the stewardship and Lord's Supper meditation was about today. It's what's inside. And when the inside's right, okay, is the inside gets cleaned, then the outside becomes clean also. That's the way the Lord has us designed to change us. It is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Let's be those who, we'll talk about this a little more next week, who seek for glory and honor and immortality so that we can receive eternal life. Let's stand.